here talking trash.
This is trash.
This is a sweet, sweet trash.
Don't be talking trash.
You believe these trash bozos?
Don't be talking trash. I don't need to hear no trash from you.
I'm the trash man.
Oh, I love trash.
All right, Rick Sussman out. Walt-headed Stooge in with us. Tony, I'm just looking at this Chinese space station that's falling we were talking about the other day.
Yeah.
You know, looks like every third time around the planet here, the orbit goes right over you, right over Jacksonville.
Uh-oh. Really?
What are you going to do?
You know what? That's going to be one of the things. Jacksonville Square Mile is the biggest city in the United States, so I'm hoping that it won't hit my
area.
No,
really?
Yeah. In the United States, Jacksonville, Florida is the biggest city in the United States square mileage-wise.
I would have thought somewhere in Alaska or Texas.
Yeah,
no?
You never know. These are the wonderful things that we're aware of on this show as opposed to others.
So, Tony, are you prepared?
Yeah, probably going to hit me, right?
I don't know. I mean, what do you do? Do you stay inside? Do you look up? You know, that was great. With Trump, they told him, you know, the solar eclipse. Nobody look into the sun, and he's standing out there in the White House staring into the sun.
That was funny. Yeah, his eyes are squinted. He was just waving and staring. Yeah, that's smart.
All right, let's get to these some opening day season here. Props for a Major League MVP odds and player props and stuff like that. Chris, take it away.
Yeah, I got some AL and NL. I got some Cy Young props here. Let's start in the American League, of course, with the best player in baseball. No value to take Mike Trout. He's plus 130. Jose Altuve, plus 650. Carlos Correa is in third at plus 1,000, so that's 10-1. Francisco Lindor, plus 1,200. I got Giancarlo Stanton there, plus 1,400. Aaron Judge, plus 18. Josh Donaldson, Mookie Betts, Manny Machado. Let's just start right there, 2,000. Any guys jump out at you, Tony? For MVP odds?
Yeah, I'm going to bet on Francisco Lindor plus 1,200. Going back to our NBA discussion, right? If you have multiple superstars on a team, that hurts you in the voting. Lindor is the guy on the offense of the Cleveland Indians that's known for great pitching. Francisco Lindor would where I put my shekels.
Nice. You go down the list. After that, J.D. Martinez, you got Jose Ramirez, plus 3,000, Gary Sanchez, plus 4,000. What about Chris Sale, plus 5,000? Scott, you ever taking any pitchers to win MVP? Doesn't happen too often.
No, I don't do anything like that. And you know, David Price is the guy I really like on Boston this year. But talking about the Red Sox and the odds, I think Mookie Betts is kind of low with the odds compared to other people. You know, we talked about Judge the other day and his stats and what his batting average could be. I would take Betts over Judge in a heartbeat. This guy can have a big rebound year if the Red Sox win the division. He only hit .264 last year. Incredibly low BABIP, though. And talking to some insiders out of Boston, you know, he's never going to hit 35 home runs. It's not the way he's built, you know, but this guy could be like 28-35 this year in terms of home runs and stolen bases and have a big rebound year. So Mookie Betts to me is a dark horse.
There's a Chris, couple wasn't of long there a shots here.
Detroit Tigers reliever Willie Hernandez won the Cy Young and the MVP?
Yes, he did. I don't know. Very good.
Yeah. It's very good.
Did Eckersley do it too? No.
I believe Raleigh Fingers.
Yeah. Oh, Fingers, yeah.
Yeah.
Justin Verlander, I know, won it a few years. Him and Kershaw.
He won both?
Kershaw was the latest. No, he didn't win both, but actually, Justin Verlander did win both, I'm pretty sure. I have to go back and double check. There's a couple long, long odds here. We talked about Ohtani in the last hour. I don't think anybody here thinks he's going to get MVP 10,000.
No.
What about Byron Buxton? 10,000, plus 10,000.
He's hitting ace today.
He is hitting eighth, but it is opening day. I don't think he's good enough to be a leadoff guy. But if he can steal you 50 bags and hit you 25 home runs, could he be the best player on the Twins?
He'll be. But that's not going to make him an MVP. You know, I think the batting average is going to kind of be in that range where he won't even have the consideration.
All right.
Is it me or is it these guys who are just like really good athletes never pan out? Oh,
I just
think
they're
the best
out.
Athlete.
You can't say never, but you're right. There are so many athletes that don't pan out that everybody looks at and says, man. And I think, you know, the football version is going to be this year is Jerick McKinnon.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, they said they're going to play him three downs. Workload. Yeah.
Chris, where is Springer on the list? I really have a man crush on both Correa and Springer.
As you should.
The two of them. Where are they? I know Correa you mentioned.
Double date?
Where's Springer?
Can we double date with Springer and Correa, you and I?
How
can
they win, though, when they're not even the best player on the team?
Plus 4,000.
It's Altuve.
Hey, I know
who's
it's tough. You got
Altuve,
Carlos Correa. They're 2-3 in terms of odds, and then George Springer plus 4,000. He's in that. He's all alone right after
he's
Sanchez.
Like the third
and
best
Jose
hitter
Ramirez.
On the team. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you got Justin Verlander, and then you got Alex Bregman, who's in here as well as another guy who's plus 1,000. Let's move over to the National League. Let's do that. National League. Bryce Harper is the favorite plus 325. Chris Bryant plus 450. Arenado, 700. Goldschmidt, 900. Joey Votto, 1,000. And then Trey Turner, 1,100. Who stands out to you there, Tony?
Yeah, you can discount. You can take out the Colorado guys. They're never going to win because the ballpark's going to get benefit.
I agree. I agree.
These guys putting up the stats. So I would go with Bryce Harper in a contract year. I think Washington wins that division easily.
All right, let's go a little bit deeper here for Scott, see if there's any value. We left off with Trey Turner, 1,100. Cody Bellinger, plus 1,200. Anthony Rizzo, 1,800. Freddie Freeman, 1,800. Corey Seager, 2,000. Another Rocky, 2,800. And then Clayton Kershaw is tied with Cespedes and Marcell Ozuna, plus 3,300. Anything there, Scott?
I've always felt that Freddie Freeman was going to have, you know, this kind of year where he could win MVP. And look, MVP... to me, it's another debate for another day. I always felt like it should be, you know, the player from a team that makes the playoffs, because without him, you can't make the playoffs. But the way they vote for it is who really posts the best numbers. And I would not be surprised if Freddie Freeman had that kind of year this year, you know, in that ballpark where he can get MVP consideration.
Who is last?
Mike, they would have to make the playoffs.
What's that?
I would think they would have to make their playoffs. Well, no, who was the last guy to that won the MVP that sucked? Like, the team sucked.
Well, Mike Trout, right?
Yeah.
Last year?
Yeah.
I can remember Andre Dawson doing it, and Harper won it. I always thought that was wrong.
When Harper won it, not only did they not make the playoffs, but in the very important games down the stretch, he played very badly.
But how valuable can you be if your team loses with you?
Exactly.
They could just lose without
that's
you.
That's why I'm that side of the argument. Look, they vote for the most valuable player based on the best stats, so you have to vote that way. But to me, most valuable should be most valuable. Without that guy, you can't win. It's like Giancarlo Stanton winning an MVP. They still didn't go to the playoffs. You take him off the team, put him on the team, they don't go to the playoffs. You take him off the team, they don't go to the playoffs. He's the best offensive player, the most outstanding player by definition, most valuable. You have to should be on a winning team. That's my opinion.
So they're having Chris, that debate right now in the NHL, Mike, about, you know, MVP, Connor McDavid. He's leading the league in points. The Oilers suck yet again. They're not going to make the playoffs. And then you have a guy like Nathan MacKinnon, who Colorado was the worst team in the NHL last year, historically one of the worst ever to play in the NHL. And they've turned it around with losing guys. Their team, you know, on paper heading into the season was actually worse. And they are in a playoff spot right now, but everybody wants to give it to McDavid because of the point total. I think what Scott said, you got to make the playoffs to be.
But you got to rename the trophy. Either to have the most valuable player and a best player. You just got to rename it.
Again, best offensive player. Talking about James Harden and LeBron James.
They have baseball already has an award, though, for that, don't they? So the best offensive players would be like most outstanding player or something like that.
How do you say baseball already has an award and then it followed up with comma, don't they?
He wanted some reassurance from you.
Hey, Chris, reassurance.
I like Votto there. I like Votto at those odds there. Did you say he was plus 1,000?
Yeah, he's plus 1,000 in Joey Votto. If the Reds make a push for a wild card spot, say that they make the playoffs, I mean, you have to think that
it's
Votto. And you know what? I think the Braves have a good young team. And I brought this up the past couple of days. Ronald Acuna at plus 25,000. Why not take a shot? You know Gabe Morenci sprinkling a little bit on that. He's the number one prospect in baseball. He's a stud. We're going to see him in about 3-4 weeks. He'll be up. And he tore the cover off the baseball in spring. This guy is for real. And what we've seen from some of these kids over the past couple of years coming up and just being amazing, I think, you know, those are some pretty long odds I could get behind at plus 25.
$25,000. I don't know. But the rookies, it's hard for a rookie to win. You know, we talk about pitchers that win the Cy Young and the MVP. What about a rookie winning the MVP? Who's the last person to do that?
Fred Lynn.
Was he the last one?
Wow.
Well, Trout was runner-up, and he never had as much hype, or he didn't have the pedigree as Acuna. I mean, nobody thought Trout was going to come up and do what he did. I mean, the year before, he was up and down in the minor leagues. He didn't do anything, really. He came out of nowhere. So, I mean, I don't think it's a stretch that Acuna can come up and, you know.
Oh, yeah, but he was a high-round draft pick for them.
Who? Acuna?
Trout.
Yeah, I mean, well, he's 21st. They took Gurchik ahead of him. They had back-to-back picks, and they took an outfielder, Randall Gurchik, before him, and then took Mike Trout right after. You talk to Trout, he's like, oh, I didn't think I was going to the Angels. They took a center fielder right before me. So, I mean, they lucked into that. All right, so those are those odds. We'll go over to pitchers. Let's do pitchers. Let's start in the National League. Clayton Kershaw, of course, up at the top, plus 175. Max Scherzer, plus 225. Syndergaard, 650. And then there's a big gap here. Strasburg is plus 15. Obviously, Bumgarner, you're not going to bet on him. Carlos Martinez, plus 18. You got DeGrom, 2,000. Darvish, 2,000. And then you get into some longer odds here. Robbie Ray, Lester, Greinke, Quintana, plus 3,000. What are you feeling, Tony?
Steven Strasburg, I talked about this last night.
You stole my guy.
Yeah, it's only been health. The guy threw 115 innings last year. His ERA was under 3. He's 29 years of age. This is the guy that came in the league with all the pedigree. He puts it together, has a big monster year. Steven Strasburg takes it home.
Scott, Matt Harvey?
No, Noah Syndergaard's going to absolutely be getting it done. Change his off-season regimen to go from strength to flexibility. Still throwing gas over 100 is going to use his off-speed pitches even more to go work deeper into games. I think this is the year that Syndergaard wins the Cy Young.
Mike, what's the feel in New York with Syndergaard? I mean, he comes to spring training. He like Scott said, he's hitting 100, 6-7 pitches in a row, and then he's walking around without his shirt on. He's just really just throwing it up. What's the feeling in New York with Syndergaard? Is this going to be a straight stud this year?
The feeling is we hope he's not Matt Harvey deja vu all over again. See, you know,
do you have that Jet mentality, that pessimism mentality? Most Met fans are not worried about Syndergaard and DeGrom. They want to see how everything else works
out.
Scott,
the reality is most Met fans, I'm 50 years old. The most Met fans are blind. I'm a Met fan, but they're blind. No matter who you put in the uniform, they have ridiculous excitement at the beginning of every year. They think they're the best thing since sliced bread. I listen and talk to Florio. He's 25 years old. He's ridiculously excited over this team. You got to temperament things. They have a lot of talent on the pitching side, but it's over the top. It's over.
A lot of Met fans are skeptical. I think but optimistic about the pitching. I don't find Met fans overly excited about this season, especially given the recent history. Besides 2015,
here's the problem: why he can't.
That's why
win,
you didn't ask.
Why Scott's analysis is wrong about them getting deeper in games. You can't pitch 30 innings. Can I finish? I let you talk. You can't pitch 30 innings in 2017 and then come back and pitch 180 innings with a young pitcher. They will never allow him to go deep in games. They're going to monitor his innings late in the season, and he is not going to pitch a bunch of innings coming off 30 and having a history of injuries.
Well, that's what you think, but that's not what I was told, by
all right, well,
in the organization.
Talk to me. Talk to me in September, Scott.
All right. If you're right, I'll tell you you're right, but I don't think you're right
It's only common sense.
It's not common sense. It's your opinion.
Matt Harvey is plus 10,000. I don't think anyone's going to bet take that bet on Harvey.
Tony really likes him to have a rebound year, and so do I.
Not MVP-like, though.
Not MVP-like, but, solid third starter.
I think there's definitely some value in fantasy, too. I've seen him, last pick for sure. Let's, before we wrap up this first break, move over to the AL. Chris Sale, plus 225. Kluber, plus 260. Kluber would be my guy. Carlos Correa, plus 800. Verlander, plus 800. Severino, plus 1,200. Keuchel, Price, Cole, Paxton, all 2,000. What jumps out to you there? And Otani is plus 3,000. I don't know if anybody wants to do that, Tony.
I agree with you on Corey Kluber. I think he's by far the pitcher that people are going to let go in innings. Chris Sale is another guy that the Red Sox have come out and said they're not going to use him as much, so he has something left in the tank in September. So I think it's Corey Kluber.
I don't think David Price is going to win the Cy Young, but he's going to be one of the top vote getters. You know, I've talked about this a few days ago. This guy is really ticked off that he has not lived up to his contract. The first year in Boston, he was not mentally ready to handle it. Last year, he was injured. He's going to come back and have a big David Price year. That's why I really like the Red Sox in the American League. You know, a lot of bounce back years.
Let's go back to Syndergaard because it was fun when you guys were arguing a little bit. Some over-unders just on him. 12 and a half wins, Tony. Yes? Over? Under?
Under.
Over.
Mike?
12 and a half?
Over.
What about 189 strikeouts, Mike? Over or under that?
Over.
Tony?
Over.
Under.
I kind of lean under, too. It's interesting with health, what's he going to do. And then the home run odds, the biggest one, the highest one I saw was from Stanton, of course, 43.5, Mike.
How many?
43.5.
43.5?
Yeah.
Under.
Over.
Tony?
Under.
I think the over there.
All right, we're going to hit a break. We'll come back with more Major League Baseball talk. It is opening day here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and wherever you are, we'll be back after this.
Muscle Maker Grill was made for baseball season. Muscle Maker Grill supplies you with delicious, healthy meals that will give you energy to cheer on your team week after week. Whether you're craving flavorful salad, packed wraps, or guiltless entrees, Muscle Maker Grill has you covered. Hosting a game? No problem. Our catering packages will have your whole team satisfied with flavors ranging from Italian to Tex-Mex and much, much more. Visit MuscleMakerGrill.com for your nearest location and have a winning season.
Reason number 12 why you should own a ThermoSpa's hot tub? They require no attachment to your home's plumbing. Thanks to the ThermoSpa's unique built-in thermofiltration system that filters the water an incredible 144 times a day, you simply fill it with a garden hose and your water stays crystal clear with very little maintenance.
Call to receive your free DVD videos and brochure and find out how you can own a ThermoSpa's hot tub for only a few dollars a day. Right now, they're offering 0% APR financing with approved credit and a $1,250 savings coupon, including free delivery, free chemicals, and a cash discount. And with models starting at $4,995, there will never be a better time to own a ThermoSpa's hot tub. So call now and ask about this limited time offer. Call ThermoSpa's today at 800-625-4922 for your free DVD videos and brochure. That's 800-625-4922. ThermoSpas, hot tubs designed to improve your life. Call 800-625-4922 today to take advantage of 0% APR financing.
Fantasy Freestyle.
They also added a targeting rule. You cannot now, like, lead with your head. That will be targeting. That will not only be a personal foul. They are saying that people who suffer targeting penalties may be ejected. What you're doing now is once again making it hard for people to play defense. We are going to see a spike in leg injuries because everybody's going to be going low. ACLs better watch out in the NFL in 2018.
Listen live on the FNTSY Radio Network and on popular podcast providers.
Video history. As the programs get bigger, they get deeper at the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and it's opening day 2018. I got to ask the question, because I'm thinking about Bon Jovi and back to my youth, seeing them with Skid Row, and it was an amazing, amazing thing. Now I got to ask you a question, Scott. What's your greatest opening day memory?
My greatest opening day, Shea Stadium, 1983, Tom Seaver returns to the Mets, and in a planned, calculated move, they introduced the starting lineup. Seaver is not on the sidelines. they have him walk from the bullpen to the dugout and wave his cap to the crowd, and he gets a standing ovation in his first game back with the Mets in being traded in 1977, and then goes out and wins opening day. When I actually spoke to Seaver about that, that is one of the most, how should I say, emotional moments in Met history, when he returned to Shea for opening day 1983.
What's it about yourself, Chris? Your favorite opening day memory?
Well, I definitely can't top that, but you know, we brought up Vladimir Guerrero yesterday, and I remember opening day in 1998 was really Guerrero's first full season, and there was just a buzz in Montreal. They've always had some good players, just unfortunately weren't able to keep them. So, you know, guys like Rondo White, you know, pretty solid. I that sticks out to me, but Vladimir Guerrero, and I remember going to the ballpark early and just watching him just crush the baseball in BP practice. So that will always stick with me.
Unfortunately, growing up as a Red Sox fan, you were taught to hate things in life and nothing works out. And I'll never forget it. 1988, we have this optimism. We signed Lee Smith in the offseason, and this is going to be the year because the bullpen was our only problem. I go opening day, first game of the season, Lee Smith lets up back-to-back home runs, and we go home losers. I was crushed. It ruined my psyche right there on opening day.
It's hard to recover.
Yeah, but
you can't recover.
You know what, though? Ever since the century has changed, you know, it's a good thing to be a Red Sox fan. But, Tony, living in Jacksonville, where do you travel to go see your major league ball, and how often do you see it?
Yeah, I'm actually going to go down to Tampa to see the Red Sox play on Easter. I was concerned that Jesus may come back because it is April Fool's Day, and I wouldn't be here. But I don't think he's going to come back to Jacksonville, Florida, if he does come back. So I'm going to take a chance. I'm going to go to the game. Mike Cardano's back with us, I believe. Mike,
you could probably catch him in a bar.
Yeah, what's your favorite opening day memory?
You know, it's funny. As a Mets fan, I actually had a moment with the opposing team. Rock Raines held out for a while, and he came back. Actually, no, that wasn't an opening day. It was the Mets opening day. It was Mets opening day. They opened on the road, and he came back, and I think he was like 5-for-5 with a game-winning home run. The other thing there was the Gary Carter
That was 1982, opening day, Mets and Expos. I was at that game, yeah.
You know, Tony, I'm just looking at this. While I'm back on the air again, when I'm on the air, people hit me up like, oh, wouldn't believe about different things. There's this, you're in Florida here, they're changing back to Atlantic Standard Time instead of Daylight Savings Time now, right? You're not going to be changing
that.
Your clocks anymore?
Yeah. I didn't so hear that. Gonna,
yeah. So now I'm just thinking through this here. You're going to have to deal some of these sports. I mean, you'd have simple things like the Times Square ball is not going to drop until 1 o'clock in the morning for you. You know, Florida polls aren't going to close. But sports-wise, like, it's going to be kind of crazy. Like, Sunday night or Monday night or Thursday night football games, those aren't going to start till 9:30 for you. Magic or Heat games, they're going to start late. But you're not going to have to worry about the Rays and the Marlins going to the World Series. They won't start late. But that's the third most populous state in the country. And, like, I don't know, you're going to have to watch a Thursday night TNT game of Rockets Warriors. They're going to tip off at 11:30 at night.
This sounds like a move by the Chamber of Commerce to promote that bars will now be open an hour later in the state of Florida. And that seems like the only positive of this.
What time do they close now?
2 a.m.
See, in New York, they're open until 4. So yeah, they're going to stay up until 3?
Out east is 4 o'clock, too.
I was living in Fort Lauderdale, I found a few places that were open until 4.
You know, it's amazing, Mike. You're talking about times, like, you know, game times and when things start. I spent some time out west. I work in the Oil Patch for a few years. It is completely crazy and hard to get used to an NFL game. I know now lately with the London games of 9 o'clock. I mean, I'm a guy who likes – I'm last-minute scrambling, last-minute news, put together lineups, some picks, make my picks, over-under spreads, all that good stuff. It's hard to do it Sunday morning, you know, getting up early when the game starts at 9 o'clock, especially after
– I love it, though. You know why I love it? It's not when you start. It's at the end of the day. Like, I've been at sports.
Still have time left in the day?
Yeah, to 11 o'clock at night. And I'm saying, man, I only get 2 days off, like on a weekend, right? And I just spent from noon to 11 p.m. in a bar, and there's nothing else left to do. But you feel like you have a little bit of a life when it's only 8 o'clock on the West Coast.
That's fair.
You say you worked in an oil patch?
I did, yeah. I was a roughneck for 3 years.
What do you actually do in an oil patch?
In Alberta. I had it easy, man. I did nothing. I have some buddies out there who have still been, you know, still working for 15 years. I wrote down six numbers every 45 minutes. We were just well testers, basically. We just tested for water, for gas, for oil, and we just had to make sure, you know, tanks didn't blow. We just had to go get pressure rates and every 45 minutes. So it was one of the most slack jobs. At times it was tough. It was some minus 50 weather. For the random Canadians, that's real cold, minus 50. So I'm glad to be out of there.
That's crazy. Hey, Tony, I know it's a big MLB day today, but we got a half hour left here. I want to get through some of the NFL news. It's NFL 365 here on the network. So the NFL is closing the overtime rule loophole, by the way. I didn't know we had a rule loophole. In some ways, they're fixing problems that they don't have. They should concentrate on bigger things. But the whole thing about one possession in each, and then so there was a scenario where if there was a fumble or an interception and you got possession of that, that could have technically counted as your possession. You didn't score on that play, so I threw an interception to you, Tony, and you ran it back for a touchdown, that wouldn't have counted if I had previously kicked a field goal. So they're going to close that loophole. So that was news. What else do we have? We have, for the first time in NFL history, the Los Angeles Rams announced that two men will be joining its cheerleading squad. Chris, are you excited about that?
Oh, yeah, off the charts. I can't wait for that. No, I'm not.
Tony, I know you're going to have some comments on this.
What is wrong with it? Like, you want, like, he's not excited about this. I mean, the biggest thing in the world, right, is we want equality. And to see men out there with the cheerleaders are there. So now, even if you're like a guy that has social anxiety, go to the gym, start pumping the weights, and you can't meet a chick, get on a cheerleading squad. Can you imagine all the women that go to games that, you know, with their husbands are drunken slobs and they're standing there looking at you all game long? This is the greatest thing ever. This is as good as being the only guy in a Magic Mike movie going to an NFL stadium as a male cheerleader with 60,000 fans there and women's husbands that can't perform because they have erectile dysfunction and they spend the money on season tickets instead of pills.
You really paint a picture there, Tony. Yeah, I mean, well, my advice for them would be not to go on social media and post any pictures without their shirt on because they'll probably lose their job, right? So.
Oh, that's a great, like, a guy at the beach might lose his job, right?
Well, if somebody joins a Dallas cheerleading squad, a dude, I mean, what is he going to wear?
Look at college and high school cheerleader type outfits. You know, they
look like Freddie Mercury.
Different. You know, they wear pants. You know, et cetera. But you know, look, the Rams are going aggressively after everything. You know, they're trying to, you know, change. They're going aggressively after making aggressive moves both on and off the field.
Well, Tony, I've never done it, but I would think that being a male college cheerleader has got to be the best thing since sliced bread.
Oh, yeah,
I mean, you just get to hang around with the ladies for 4 years.
I think about it all the time. Like, I mean, we spend hundreds of dollars at the bar to try to get close to vagina. These guys do it every day at practice.
and the cheerleaders will be able to talk to them. It's funny because we brought up the Saints girl, and I saw her on a talk show yesterday, and she was obviously really going at the Saints here. They had told, like, they told her not to communicate with any of the Saints players because they're predators. Mm-hmm. That's what they told her. So she can't talk to any of the Saints players, but she could talk to the new cheerleaders if they decide to follow the Rams suit and hire a couple.
Wait a minute, can she? If there's just the Saints or the Predators, are the road teams off limits?
I don't know. They didn't say anything about
how
that.
How do you apply for
if they're saying
jobs?
That their home play?
Like, if you're a guy, like, what do you say? I want to apply for the guy who holds the woman up. What do you apply for?
You go to cheerleading tryouts, and then they check out your physique, and they match you up appropriately in the pyramid.
Engel, give me your best Seattle Seahawks cheer. Go ahead, let me hear it. Give me a rah-rah sis boom bah.
Rah-rah sis boom bah for, let's see.
For the Seahawks. Go ahead, let me hear it.
For the Seahawks.
This is your addition, right here.
This is my addition. All right. Let's see. Wilson, Thomas, Wagner, boom, boom, bah. Let's get him ready for the 12s. Rah, rah, rah.
Not bad.
All right.
Not bad.
There you have it. Yeah. I don't know that we'll be clipping that, yeah. But. hey,
well,
so.
That's my karaoke.
Tons of talk about Odell Beckham and whether they're going to trade him, not going to trade him. They want two first-round draft picks or whatever the heck they want. Someone sent me a list yesterday of wide receivers that were traded for first-round draft picks. And I'm going to read these off to you, and you tell me if any of them are worth it. So if anybody's thinking about trading any of these GMs, if this will work out. So in 1991, Randall Hill to the Phoenix Cardinals. Anybody think Randall Hill was all that?
No, that's the guy they talked about before. They were like an athlete.
He finished with 2,014 yards in four seasons for them. Next was 2013, Percy Harvin to Seattle. Did that work out?
Oh, it worked out for a touchdown run in the Super Bowl, but other than that, no.
Nice kick return, yeah. I mean, that was money, but no, that didn't work.
They basically traded for that kick return to start the second half.
And
yeah,
what a return.
He played six games for Seattle before being traded to the Jets, and didn't work out for them either. Mike Pritchard to the Denver Broncos, 1994. Ooh. There's a blast from the past.
Former University of Colorado Buffalo? No.
No.
Now, he suffered a lacerated kidney. Lacerated kidney just three games into his Denver career, and then he got arrested for vehicular assault. I guess he assaulted a
vehicle. He had some good years, though, at one point, though.
712 total yards in his Denver career. That's what they got out of that. Here's one. Joey Galloway, to the Dallas Cowboys, 2000. What do you think?
No, because he was playing great before that, and he had some good
years. Where was
years.
He, Seattle?
He was Seattle. Right? Like he was playing really well with them, and he had a contract dispute where he failed out the first eight games, and then Holmgren wanted to get rid of him, and he did. But he really had a long, very solid career, but not worth a first rounder.
Tore a knee ligament at the end of his very first game in Dallas, never posted a 1,000-yard season with Dallas before moving on to Tampa. Roy Williams, Dallas Cowboys, 2008. Lions got Brandon Pettigrew, plus a third and sixth round pick with that. What do you think? No. Roy Williams.
There's another one. These are all awful.
He's not even the most famous Roy Williams. It's an old white guy in North Carolina that's better than him.
Here's somebody that anybody my age will remember, but anybody my age will remember. Most of our demographic won't. John Jefferson to the Green Bay Packers, 1981.
The former Charger,
awesome in San Diego.
He was with the Chargers. Yeah, remember that, Tony, the Chuck Muncy Chargers?
Yeah, he used to have goggles because he couldn't see that well. Imagine a wide receiver that couldn't see.
Yeah, wearing goggles out there. That's before.
Yeah,
it's interesting.
It's true.
The Chargers actually made out on that, I think. Not that they did better, but the Chargers actually turned that pick into Wes Chandler.
That's beautiful.
So that worked out for them. He had a great. Peerless Price to the Atlanta Falcons, 2003.
I remember that.
Wow.
Peerless Price.
He had 1,413 yards in two seasons.
Chris remembers
there.
That one.
I do. I do remember that one.
Peerless Price.
Willie Gault.
What he was going to be.
Willie Gault to the Raiders, 1988.
Nah.
How do you trade a first-round pick for Willie Gault?
Because he could run. Al Davis loved people who could run, didn't he?
Yeah, he loved all those fast
guys who could run.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, he did.
That's Love true.
Yeah. Well, Willie Gault did okay for a track guy, didn't he? In terms of his career
really
with
good
Chicago,
for a track guy, but you can't give him
because there aren't many of them who work out.
It's not worth a first rounder, you know.
Yeah,
Ronaldo Nehemiah types.
This one didn't work out, but I don't know that you can say it was bad to say. I don't know. Randy Moss to Oakland, 2005.
No, he was at the end of his
career. It didn't work out for Oakland.
What do you mean it was at the end of his career? He broke the record after that in New England.
He didn't play well in Oakland, though, right?
Yeah, but it wasn't at
the end of his career. No, it didn't work out for Oakland. It didn't work out for Oakland. It wasn't the end of
his career. It didn't work out for Oakland, no. Yeah, but he was fine. Yeah, it just didn't work out for them.
I didn't realize he did have 1,000 yards in his first year in Oakland. I didn't even realize that, though. I didn't think he... but he averaged a career low, 42.5.
You would think at the time it was worth it, for sure, though.
I think the following year, Oakland, Mike, I thought his second year was bad with Oakland, I thought.
And then Oakland traded him to New England for a fourth-round pick. How'd that work out?
Nice.
You're pretty good. You got like 40 touchdowns in 3 years for them.
And then we have throw me the damn ball, Keyshawn Johnson to the Buccaneers in 2000.
See, that's the only
one. He played well for them. If any one of them was worth it, it might be this one.
Yes.
Yeah. That's the last one that sticks out to me is Keyshawn.
Here's a player that I really loved with the Jets, and he went on to flourish with the Cardinals, Rob Moore.
He was very solid and underrated. A lot of Jet fans had him as one of their underrated favorites. He was solid.
Scott, 1997, he had 1,584 yards for the Cardinals. That's a heck of a year.
You might have to say maybe he was worth the first rounder.
Brandon Cooks to the Patriots, 2017. I guess jury's still out. Yeah, and then
not yet.
Wes Chandler, obviously, that I spoke about. Was part of that trade there. All right, when we come back, we're going to wrap this up in the last segment. I don't know. It depends. Depends what you give up, I guess, if he gets hurt. You thought Randy Moss was worth it, right? So we'll be back. We'll wrap up with some MLB here, and then on to Craig Card.
Steiner Sports is the leading memorabilia provider for the New York Yankees, Rangers, Giants, Knicks, and the Brooklyn Nets. Featuring hundreds of items from your favorite athletes, Steiner Sports is your source for the best sports gifts. Go to steinersports.com/box and shop our collection of memorabilia boxes, which include 10 gifts for the price of one. We've made one for each of your favorite teams. Hurry, supplies are limited, and these are some of the best deals we have ever offered. So go to steinersports.com/box today.
Fantasy.
We had agreed that it came down to Tanaka or Keuchel. Frank adamantly wanted Dallas Keuchel.
I'm just kind of sour on Masahiro Tanaka. I'm just worried about him pitching in Yankee Stadium, the fact how many home runs he gave up last year, and just all the lineups that he's going to have to face. Dallas Keuchel in a contract year, and this is what, with contract year players, I'm not just going to, that's the reason you have to draft him. But if you're splitting hairs on players this close, I might use that as a deciding factor.
Weekdays on FNTSY Radio and live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube stream.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing at 800-955-3793 immediately. That's 800-955-3793. Page Publishing is looking for authors of all types of books, and unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to them and give you their feedback. If they like what they read, they'll get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. They handle everything: editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, then you need to call Page Publishing and do it immediately. Call 800-955-3793 now for your free author submission kit. Again, for your free author submission kit, call 800-955-3793. That's 800-955-3793. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call. Call Page Publishing at 800-955-3793 for your free author submission kit.
All right, Major League Baseball opening day is today, and the Fantasy Sports Radio Network is going to be providing the opportunity to play free daily fantasy baseball with chances every day to win two tickets to the 2018 World Series. We're going to pick a couple of winners. They'll get some games. It's sponsored by the wonderful folks over at DKMS. whose quest it is to rid society of blood cancer. It is a noble cause indeed. Go to dailyroto.com/FNTSY starting today to find out more about DKMS's mission and how to get in on the free daily fantasy baseball action with two tickets to win to a World Series game. That's dailyroto.com/FNTSY. And lineups are starting to be published, boys, for today's game. We've got at 1:10, the Pirates have posted their lineup. Adam Frazier, Josh Harrison, Gregory Polanco, Josh Bell, Corey Dickerson, Starlin Marte, Francisco Cervelli, Colin Morgan, and Jordy Mercer. Any problems there? The pitcher's not hitting. They're playing the Tigers. Anybody have any problems with anything there?
Why is Marte not hitting leadoff?
Any surprises? Well, because Frazier's hitting leadoff.
No, so I thought Harrison maybe question. Would be the leadoff guy.
Yeah.
Who'd you think was going to be, Chris?
I thought maybe Josh Harrison was going
to
be their leadoff.
That'd make
there
were
some
sense
rumblings.
To me too. Yeah.
Yeah, rumblings about that. I think over time, maybe we'll see that. I don't mind the first few hitters in this team. I know that they've lost McCutchen, but if they were to go, you know, with Harrison and then Marte and then Polanco and then Josh Bell, I think is pretty underrated. That's not a bad
first four. Yeah. Me and Lenny Melnick would talk. Lenny Melnick thinks this is a better offensive team than they were last year. He says Corey Dickerson at this point is everything that Andrew McCutchen was without the stolen bases, and stolen bases aren't a big thing. You have Josh Bell another year, and last year Gregory Polanco was hurt. He thinks it's a better offensive team than last year. And you know what? When you really look at it, it's hard to argue that it isn't.
Yeah, Polanco can stay healthy and finally have that breakout. You know, I could see it.
Yeah, I'm a big Corey Dickerson guy. He's sitting fifth today. In left field. The Mets lineup is out. They're hosting the Cardinals. It's Carlos Martinez against Noah Syndergaard, your boy Scott there. Brandon Nimmo, Yonis Cespedes, Jay Bruce, Asdrubal Cabrera, Todd Frazier, Adrian Gonzalez, Kevin Plawecki, Noah Syndergaard, Ahmed Rosario. I hate the batting pitcher eight thing. I know Syndergaard can swing the bat a bit.
Smart. But
I hate that. It's just put your position players up. I am a little surprised that Plawecki is starting over Darno. I don't know what that means really, but Scott, you first. Saying, what are your reactions to this lineup?
Yeah, they're saying they're going to platoon him and Darno. You know, coming out of the gate, that's what Callaway is going to do. And when you see Cespedes hitting second, and you said Cabrera was hitting fourth,
yes,
the way Callaway. Now Tony talks about here's a guy who thinks he's smarter, right? And the reason why people like Tony will say that is because he's hitting Cespedes second, not in the belief that. In the belief that he wants to get his best hitters the most at-bats possible instead of hitting cleanup. And, you know, if they don't hit, if this lineup doesn't hit well, that's going to come under fire.
I'll tell you what, Callaway's going to Joe Maddon School of Managing both on opening day. It's just Joe Maddon. Yeah. This is all Joe Maddon. He's putting his best hitter second, which Maddon believes. He does that with Anthony Rizzo against righties and Chris Bryant against lefties. He has Cespedes in the two hole. He's got a marginal hitter in the four hole, and he's got a pitcher eighth there. So turn over the batting order. Who Ahmed Rosario is a ninth hitter and is not going to be a great offensive player. This is interesting what they're doing here, but this is Joe Maddon-esque.
Yeah,
I don't know, Tony. This guy's a
pitcher.
He's a pitching guy, this coach, and he's coming in, and it shows to me that he's a pitching guy. It doesn't look like he knows what he's doing here on the offensive side of the ball.
Syndergaard might hit fourth next week. We'll see.
he might be probably better suited than Cabrera. You know, Cabrera's interesting.
Cabrera's not bad at all. The guy hit 280 with like 18 homers.
Yeah, but he's not a number.
He's a career 270
four hitter.
But he's not. He's not a cleanup hitter, but he's certainly not a bad hitter whatsoever.
And he's interesting from a daily standpoint too. Maybe not today against Carlos Martinez, but you know, in some spots, you know, your cleanup guys will be one of your cheapest batters.
I'm going to be totally honest. This is a weird situation. We talked about over and unders for the last couple of weeks, and the Mets are like at 79 or 80 in some places. And I thought it could go either way. I see this lineup on paper. There's no way this team's going to win 80 games. Are you kidding me? Todd Frazier is going to hit 210. Adrian Gonzalez is going to be out of baseball by June. And Kevin Plawecki is hitting seventh. Then the pitcher. They're not going to get a hit after the fourth batter.
I'm actually surprised that Gonzalez is starting at first base. What do you guys think? Todd Frazier has more strikeouts or a higher batting average? So if the number's 225 strikeouts, does he bat higher?
He's going to bat higher, but it'll be close.
How many strikeouts? What do you think? How many strikeouts will he have?
145.
Yeah,
well, that's low.
In that range. But here's what's going to happen, though. You talk about Adrian Gonzalez, right? I think when Gonzalez flames out, they're going to put Bruce at first and have Nemo and Conforto in the outfield.
Yeah, that's better. The lineup just get a lot better if that happens.
Yeah.
And Tony gave Gonzalez the benefit of the doubt with June. I mean, I'd be shocked if he lasted that long.
And Tony, to your point, if this team's not hitting at all, they're going to come under so much fire that he's going to have to move away from doing this.
All right, let's get off the Mets. Way too much Mets talk today. Twins, Jake Odorizzi against Dylan Bundy in the Orioles today. Twins have their lineup in. Brian Dozier, Joe Mauer, Miguel Sano, Eddie Rosario hitting cleanup, Logan Morrison, Eduardo Escobar, Max Kepler, Byron Buxton, who somebody voted for MVP, at plus 25,000, and Jason Castro behind the plate. What do you think here? No, but nobody's winning the MVP batting eighth, by the way. Just
One guy to watch in this lineup that nobody wanted in fantasy baseball, or it seemed like nobody wanted in baseball, is Logan Morrison. I talked to one American League executive who's in the Central who said, when we saw that we signed in as our division, all our pitchers groaned. This guy is going to have another good year.
Then why didn't they sign him?
They already had a first baseman.
American League Central team?
Yeah.
It better have been Detroit.
What about
Chicago, though?
What's going on with Sano?
They don't have a DH.
Didn't Sano have some legal issues?
Yeah, he's not going to get suspended.
No suspension. I'll tell you right now, really quick, if you're playing DFS today, 6 left-handed bats in that lineup against Dylan Bundy. The Twins will be a nice, quiet stack today, I think you can use.
They were a top 10 offense last year. I like them. I agree with Scott, too. Logan Morrison and he's available in way too many leagues. I don't think he'll flirt with 40 home runs, but he'll hit 30.
And for Buxton, guys, I think he got him in the 20th round last night.
Buxton's going to be up in that lineup, I think, before you know it. He'll move up.
He can't go backwards. He's hitting 8.
But where's he going to bat? Because here's the problem with this. They love Joe Mauer, and Joe Mauer is going to always hit number in the top 2.
I didn't even realize Mauer's not first base anymore. He's DH.
Doge is the best, one of the best leadoff hitters in baseball, so it's going to be hard for
him. You're right. It is going to be hard, but like I said, this kid is, it took him a little bit. We can't knock him on the first year or so that we've seen him in the bigs. I mean, he is another top talented prospect who in the second half of the season was off the charts. So you're right. I mean, it's going to be tough for him to get in that one spot, maybe Dozier, but they've moved Dozier around, and who knows with
Shouldn't Dozier be hitting in the middle of the order?
I mean, he could.
Yeah, I mean,
but
he's hitting the 2 and the 3 spot before.
There's so many. There's a lack of quality leadoff hitters. I like him batting leadoff, actually.
All right. Well, that's where Buxton would go, right? If he moved up, he would go to 1, no?
Yeah.
Where else would he go?
Yeah.
All right. Yankees lineup is in. Luis Severino against J.A. Happ today at 3:37. Interesting time start. Eastern time. Brett Gardner, Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton is DHing. Gary Sanchez hitting cleanup. Aaron Hicks, who we're all high on, center field. Didi Gregorius, Brandon Drury, Neil Walker, and Tyler Austin is your New York Yankees first baseman to open the season. How do we feel about that, Tony?
Aaron Boone is not going to play small ball. It looks like putting Aaron Judge in the 2-hole. That's the weirdest number 2 hitter I've seen. He's not going to be able to bunt. He's not going to move runners along. They're saying, hey, we're going to score 10 runs every game. I'm putting my best hitters up early. So Boone's making a statement. I'll tell you what, Neil Walker, I like. That's a good 8th. If he's healthy, a good 8th hitter. I mean, are you kidding me? And what can you say? This lineup's, deep.
Awesome.
Walker's got to stay healthy. Hit 9 home runs in the first month in 2016 with the Mets. Brett Gardner at age 35, still leading off, still 2020. And Brandon Drury is going to be very interesting to watch in that ballpark. You know, he could take another step forward this year.
It's hard to say anything bad about this offense. I love Brett Gardner in fantasy. I agree. I think he was a great value 2020. And a lot of these guys crush lefties, too. I mean, especially, you know, Stanton last year and Sanchez. These guys crush lefties. This Hap is probably going to have a rough day. D.D. Gregorius, I'm in on Aaron Hicks. There's a lot to like. They got studs coming up. Kleber Torres will probably be up in, you know, August or so. This is a
I think Kleber Torres is going to be a Toronto Blue Jay.
I don't know. You know, we've been hearing about him for a while. I know he's young, but he's we keep hearing about him, and whenever he gets a shot to impress anybody up at this level, whether it be spring training or wherever, he doesn't.
Well, he suffered that injury last year. Like, I think we may have saw him last year, but he suffered, you know, he suffered a season-ending injury. They have a lot of pieces and prospects to trade for one of those guys. You know, that's a good team, maybe, trading partner.
Are they going to see Torres? Donaldson or Mike Moustakas both have final years of their contracts. They'll be the Yankees' third baseman in the second half of the season.
All right. My old team, the Kansas City Royals, their lineup is in today. It's Danny Duffy against James Shields and the White Sox. We've got leading off John Jay, Whit Merrifield, Mike Moustakas, the guy who's theoretically broke now, Lucas Duda, Chesler Cuthbert, George Soler, or is it Jorge? Alex Soler. Gordon, Alcides Escobar, and Drew Brutera is filling in for the injured behind the plate. Chris, what do you think?
Oh, this is a bad lineup. I'll say that.
But I know Scott's a Lucas Duda guy.
I like Lucas Duda. I like him today, too, against James Shields. For those playing daily, I think there's some value to be had with Lucas Duda. Whit Merrifield, can't spell Whit without hit. Love him. He's a stud. Moustakas. But other than that, I mean, Alcides Escobar can't hit for average. He lost his leadoff spot last year. John Jay at top of the order. No thanks. Jorge Soler, we're waiting for him. Had a good spring, but we've been waiting for him. And then Alex Gordon. Just a good fielder. That's about it. This team is not going to be that good.
So Soler could go either way. It's like he had a great spring. He's got a lot of natural talent. But one AL executive told me, you know, that guy could go either way. He's as dumb as rocks.
All right.
That's sad.
I'm not gonna follow that.
Yeah, come
the
on,
Mariners
Tony,
lineup
to.
Is it? I find this interesting that the Mariners lineup is in. They're playing at 10-10 tonight. Their lineup is in. A whole lot of other teams aren't in.
They're excited.
Felix Hernandez, who's starting opening day for like the 90th year in a row, apparently he's healthy, against Corey Kluber. We've got D. Gordon, Gene Segura, Robinson Cano, Nelson Cruz, Kyle Seager, Mitch Haniger, Ryan Healy, Mike Zunino, and the ageless Ichiro Suzuki batting ninth in left field. That's a pretty good lineup, actually. Scott, you go first.
Yeah, it is. You know, to see D. Gordon playing the outfield will change his fantasy eligibility this year, which is interesting. But Zunino is the guy you're interested to see what kind of batting average he delivered. He hit over 250 last year, but his BABIP was incredibly outrageous. So he's going to come back down, but still he gives you really a lot of pop if you can cope with that low batting average. But, you know, this is not a bad lineup whatsoever. You know, and Ichiro is a really interesting story about him in ESPN, the magazine, about, you know, trying to come back for his final year and all the training that he goes through.
Chris?
And to do it in Seattle, too, right? Yeah, it's nice. I love the addition of D. Gordon. So much speed at the top of that lineup. D. Gordon, Gene Segura, those guys, they get on base and they make things happen. And Robinson Cano and Cruz, I think there's still a couple of years left, especially Cruz, like another value guy. I think there's another year left in him. He's pretty solid. This is a nice lineup. I agree with Zunino, too. He's a top 10 catcher last year, and I don't spend a high pick on catchers. We talked about him last hour. But Zunino's on a couple of my teams. I believe in the power.
Tony.
Ryan Healy must have had a medical breakthrough. He wasn't supposed to be ready for opening day. Congratulations, Ryan Healy. I like the lineup.
I guess the way you saw Daniel Vogelbach was hitting in the spring.
Yes, you're right, Scott. Right?
It's surprising he's not in the lineup. I mean, just on pure hotness alone, this guy was killing it. But they're in tough today against Corey Kluber. I mean, I'm not stacking it.
Tony, we're just about
Mariners
at the
today.
Top of the hour here. Give me a kind of a what to look for in 2 minutes. Give me 2 minutes of a what to look for today in DFS.
Yeah, DFS, today is a weird day because it's broken up in two different segments. One of the 12 to 3 o'clock games, so that features the Noah Syndergaard as a top pitcher and John Lester. I think, you know what, it wouldn't be crazy for me to go ahead and use Jose Urena against the Cubs. I think he's a cheap value. He's going to go 5 or 6 innings, and he'll be able to withstand the Cubs. And you pair him with an expensive guy like Noah Syndergaard. I mentioned the Twins batting order against Dylan Bundy. He's had a problem with left-handed bats early in the season. Jay Happ, I think everybody's going to load up Yankees, but the one thing about Jay Happ, when he's on, he keeps the ball on the ground. I'm not going to be one of those guys loading up on that Yankees batting order. When they get into the Toronto Blue Jays bullpen, they could cause some havoc there. Chris Archer is a guy against the Boston Red Sox. If you want to go contrarian play, he'll have double-digit strikeouts today, and you can put him against the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah, that's a great point on Happ. That guy, like, goes drafted in, like, the 22nd round or something like that, and he's always steady.
Chris, is there anybody you have to have as a must-have today in your DFS lineups?
I've been trying to I don't want to spend up too badly. I mean, the Astros crush lefties, Cole Hamels. They're all extremely expensive. And the Yankees, I know we were talking about Happ, but, I mean, Stanton, I think, is somebody that I've started a lot of my lineups around. I like that. And I think there's some value with Garrett Richards, too, a strikeout guy. If you want to spend up heavy, Syndergaard was thrown out there. I think Sale, who just is so dominant, has been dominant against the Rays. You spend down on a guy like Garrett Richards against Oakland, it's not a bad option.
I generally try to steer clear in the beginning of the year. DFS is a lot of bad weather, and people haven't gotten into the groove. Pitchers aren't going that deep into the games. I haven't had a lot of success with it, so I try to steer clear of it. All right, as a reminder, coming up 9 p.m. Eastern this morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, it's the first ever broadcast of Carton and Friends live from Studio 34 in New York. Craig is going to be joined by Corey Parson and Michelle Serpico. I believe both former Governor Chris Christie and Al Leiter are going to be joining the show for a bit at some point, so that should be fun. And if you're not in a position to watch the broadcast, to listen to the broadcast, if you're going to watch the broadcast, you can catch it on the Fantasy Sports Network, television network. You can catch it on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch.tv, Periscope, Mixer, Facebook, anywhere. That's 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern right here on the Fantasy Sports Network. Enjoy opening day today, everyone.